Thank you, Clerk. Good morning, everyone. We're going to wait just a second. I know Congressman Tillman is in the process of calling in, and at that time, we will have a quorum.
Chairwoman Shaw.
Good morning, Congressman Tillman. How are you?
I'm good. I apologize for the delay, just having some technical difficulties, if you will, but I'm here now.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to go ahead and get started. Good morning. I'd like to call the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. Today's date is July 10th, and the time is 9:05 a.m. Clerk, could you please take care of the roll call?
Congressman Big Horse. Congressman Hamilton. Congresswoman Redcorn.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Chair Shaw.
Present. We do have a quorum. Thank you, Clerk. Next on the agenda is prayer. Please bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for such a beautiful day and another day to serve in this capacity for the Osage Nation, Lord. Please take care of our members far and wide and address the needs that only you know. Lord, we thank you again for all the provisions that you give us and help us to do a good job for the nation in today's meeting. And again, please take care of all of our members, most definitely the children and elders. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes. You do have minutes attached to the meeting notice. If you could take a moment to review.
Chair?
Yes, Congressman.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? No. Thank you, committee. Also, I'd like to recognize the folks that we have online with us as guests. We do have Colleen Rosillas and Maria Strath from Moss Adams. Of course, Attorney Gill, and in the chambers, Treasurer Batson has arrived as well. Next on the agenda are payables. We just have two payables, committee, that were sent out to you earlier today. The first one is in reference to the inauguration event that will be this Saturday. It is for the flowers. We will be getting them from a local shop here in Pawhuska. The total amount is $1,020. The second invoice we have is for Moss Adams. The total amount on this invoice is for $9,525. And the Moss Adams billing is for services provided in May.
Chair, I make a motion, if I may, to approve the invoice for the flowers and another motion to approve the payable to Moss Adams.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. For the record, the invoice for the flowers is for $1,020 and it's to Roots and Blooms. And the Moss Adams invoice is for May services. Invoice number 10261351 for $9,525. Any discussion, committee? All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you. Motion carries. I appreciate that, committee. Next on the agenda, number six, OFPR. We, as you know, received around the first week of June, the final report for the organization-wide risk assessment that was completed by Moss Adams. We do have, again, Moss Adams here to present the report as well as Treasurer Batson. I hope that the committee has had time to review. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Moss Adams to get us started.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And thanks so much for having us today. So I'm Colleen Rosillas from Moss Adams. My colleague Maria, who managed the risk assessment, is also here to present the results. As a reminder, this is foundational work that we typically do to help to understand risks, performance, controls, and opportunities across tribal government so we can then shape our performance and internal audit work program. So we'll go through our higher risk areas with you all today, talk a little bit about the opportunities that we see across tribal government, and then we'll have a follow-up discussion, answer your questions, and talk a little bit more about where you'd like OFPR to go from here. So Maria's going to share her screen. We have a short presentation for you.
Thank you so much, Colleen. And it looks like screen share is disabled for me, and I'm hoping there's a way for me to be given that access if possible. Perfect. Thank you so much. Give me one second here. Okay, great. Good morning, committee members. Thank you so much for having us. I'm happy to present the results of our organization-wide risk assessment. I'm going to talk a little bit about our scope and methodology, our framework for conducting our risk assessment, and then the results of our risk assessment. So as the nation's internal auditor, we conducted this organization-wide risk assessment between January and May of this year. A risk assessment is focused on assessing at a high level the current state of the nation's risk condition. So we're looking at things like internal controls, operational efficiency and effectiveness, policies and procedures, and compliance. We do use a framework called the COSO, Enterprise Risk Management, ERM framework, which emphasizes the importance of integrating risk considerations when an organization is designing and implementing its strategies to achieve its objectives. We look at both internal and external factors, and we use both quantitative and qualitative methodologies to assess risks. We do leverage best practices to identify opportunities for improvement, and we do provide risk mitigation strategies throughout the report. We have a four-phase methodology to our engagements. Really, the core of an enterprise risk assessment methodology is our fact-finding phase. So for this project, we did review documents from across the organization and all the different risk areas that you'll see described in the report. We also held interviews with management from across all of the different functional areas at the nation so that we could really understand the current state and their perspective on risks. We also did an all-staff survey to create or to learn a broader perspective on the risk environment and understand staff perceptions. We used those inputs to assess risk across multiple categories and, of course, put that information together in the report that you have today. Our risk assessment framework is on the slide here. We use four areas to assess risk. So we're looking at likelihood of risk, so the probability that a risk is occurring. We're looking at the impact of the risk. We're also looking at management's preparedness to address the risk. So what sort of controls are in place, things like policies, procedures, leadership, things like that. And then we're also looking at the trajectory. So is the risk going up? Is it staying the same or is it going down? We use those four inputs to calculate an overall risk level. And that's how we're able to provide to the nation the high to low ratings for each of the risk areas. Again, we also provide risk mitigation strategies in the report for each risk category. And those mitigation strategies are opportunities for the nation to reduce and mitigate risk in each of the areas. And lastly, the residual risk that you'll see for each category, that's the level of risk that we estimate would be remaining if those risk mitigation strategies are implemented. We evaluated 17 categories of risk for the nation, and these risk areas collectively comprise operations across the organization. I won't go over each area individually, but I do want to talk about key themes and takeaways in the following slides, especially for the nation's high and moderate to high risk areas, which are the nation's highest risk priorities. The high risk categories, which you'll see in the report, are accounting and finance, capital improvement, fraud, waste, abuse, and ethics, funding and economics, and IT. So these are the areas where there is the most opportunity for the nation to implement strategies to reduce risk, to make sure that you're able to achieve the objectives and the mission that you're trying to achieve and serve your members effectively. Some of the key drivers of risk in the accounting and finance section, well, I think the biggest driver is the financial systems environment, which is really challenging for the nation. There are several different systems that the nation is using to accomplish and achieve accounting and finance processes, and those systems aren't well integrated. So this is a pretty significant opportunity for the nation to be able to think about what is the right systems environment, whether that's sort of thinking about the current systems that are in place and how to make those more efficient or considering new systems, which I know is something that Clark and his team are focusing on right now and is a high priority for them as well. Make sure we're doing things efficiently, effectively, and get things done in a timely manner. For capital improvement, the biggest risk drivers there are really about competing priorities and limited funding and resources. So this is really commonly an area of high risk and physical grown and physical grown and physical grown and physical space has not necessarily grown with that growth. And so physical space is limited. We also saw that there's opportunities to increase planning in this area to mitigate and reduce risk, given the limited funding and resources. So putting into place things like a capital improvement plan that can really list out the priorities and help the nation plan effectively how to address its infrastructure requirements are really key in this area. For fraud, waste, abuse, and ethics, the nation does have some practices in place, which is great. But what we saw here was that there's a really significant opportunity to make the fraud, waste, and abuse program more comprehensive. So thinking about having strong policies and procedures in place to really make it clear to nation employees what understand that, have aware, understand that, have aware, understand that, have aware, understand that, have awareness and build that education, which can be a really great way to reduce risk in this area. We also saw limited ownership of fraud, waste, abuse risk. So this is an opportunity for the nation to think about really where is the best place to have ownership of this and what are some good practices to be able to increase transparency and be able to increase confidentiality of complaints and that sort of thing. Funding and economics is a high-risk area for many tribal governments that we work with, and really for many governments overall that we work with. At the nation, there's a heavy reliance, as you know, on grants and contracts revenue. Again, very common, but that reliance on a couple of different revenue sources makes the nation vulnerable to changes in funding levels in those sources. The nation also has limited reserves or funds to be able to sustain operations in emergencies or unforeseen events. So there's an opportunity to think about some improvements there. IT is the last high risk area. I would say this is the highest risk for the nation, the highest risk area for the nation. There, as you know, information technology is a significant risk for any organization. It's becoming more complex. We're relying on technology more. We're more, you know, just in general, organizations and especially governments are more vulnerable to cyber events and that sort of thing. And the nation has a significant opportunity here to increase, really make sure we have the right things in place to be able to mitigate risk. Of course, that risk will always exist, but there are things like having comprehensive policies and procedures, doing regular training for our staff, doing penetration testing, having robust planning and IT governance. There are quite a lot of controls that can be implemented in the IT environment to reduce risk in this area. We had three moderate to high risk categories in the risk assessment that we identified: human resources, policies and procedures, and procurement. The main drivers of risk in HR really were around the challenges with recruiting, which I mentioned earlier. In a study was done in compensation study, 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 was done in 2015. And there have just been challenges with recruiting due to things like pay and processes in that area. There's also need to improve policies and procedures in the HR space to reduce risk and promote compliance in HR. Policies and procedures, that's the next risk area. And again, this one is one that shows up throughout the report. And there you see in the high and the mod, 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 see in the high and the moderate to high risk category. So that's a really great opportunity for the nation to be thinking about, let's put into place a policy management framework and make sure that we have policies and procedures in these key areas to reduce risk. And then lastly, I'll talk about procurement. Some similar themes here. So I mentioned system challenges previously in accounting and finance. That also shows up here, that lack of integration between the accounting system and the procurement system results in more manual processes and can make things a little bit more challenging to be efficient or effective. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lack of policies and procedures. So that is my last slide, but I do want to pass it over to Colleen to talk a little bit about next steps from the risk assessment, and then we're happy to take questions.
So as we've talked about a few times over the last couple of years, and to work with you all, to identify that program, identify how we want to approach this work going forward. We usually do some discrete projects and also think about things that could be programmatic, like contract auditing and things like that. So back to you all for questions.
At this point. And I'd also like to make a statement and kind of give a little bit of background. As you know, OFPR has been somewhat of a difficult process for us when, you know, I'm into a term as of next week. And when I first came onto Congress, I can tell you that OFPR was not active, I guess, by law. There are requirements of the CA committee to oversee this program. That is why we started down this road. Now, our previous acting treasurer, there were some difficulties in participation and cooperation. I will say that Treasurer Batson has been very active and open and has allowed us to get to this point to where we're able to carry out the law as it's stated. So, you know, I look at assessments such as these as tools to make us better, to identify areas where we can improve. I know that some of the language that is used it can be somewhat alarming when you hear that there's a high risk, et cetera, et cetera. It's, you know, it could be a bit alarming, but I look at it as really a great tool for all of us to take, and hopefully an executive can take and move forward from. So what we need to decide right now as a committee, and it may be because I'll tell you, ladies, the committee will change just next week. Inauguration is this Saturday. So this may be a question of our requirement. So committee, questions?
Chair.
Yes, Congressman Tillman.
I can't tell how many people. My internet's out. I don't know how many congressional members we have here that are dialed in. It's a lot of information. It's a lot of concerning information that I read the report a couple of weeks ago. Thought it would be a good opportunity for Congress to maybe have a joint committee meeting to discuss the findings and work with the treasurer and get updates from him as we proceed forward to make these corrections. And like you say, there's going to be probably a new CA committee within, you know, the next week. And so that's going to present not a fresh ideas or comments, but it'll definitely change the dynamics of who is on the committee. And I know we had committee members that aren't I think we don't have a couple of committee members that aren't here today for whatever reason. And just for the whole Congress as a whole, to be able to have a conversation about this report and formulate questions to be able to give back to Moss Adams and then decide, you know, which direction it is that we do want to go. And I'm encouraged, as you are, that Mr. Batson hopefully is providing a more agreeable, amenable, cooperative approach with Moss Adams so that, you know, we find these things and we want to correct them. We want to be a good government. We want to be an efficient government. And these things that they have uncovered are fixable, in my opinion. But it needs to be a cooperation with the executive branch, the treasurer, and this new government, the Ninth Osage Nation Congress that's coming. So I really don't have any questions right now because I may not even be on this committee next time, but I will be a member of this Congress. And I would hope that the full body would take a very keen, high interest in the findings that Moss Adams has uncovered for us to work together to mend these issues that they have. And then we'll have a clearer path of how we want to go forward and give some time to IT and give some time to Treasury and procurement and these, you know, high risk assessment areas to be aware that, hey, these things are what we've uncovered from, you know, our OFPR oversight, and give that time to work and possibly then do another assessment. But kind of rambling on, but those are my thoughts, Chair. And but I do appreciate the report. I can't tell who's all here at the meeting, but would love to hear from other Congress people as well. But that's all I have for now, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Congressman Tillman, for your comments. It is true, we're kind of at this. Yes, Congresswoman Rickhorn, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you can totally finish your thought. I didn't mean to cut you off also, but no, I have a couple of thoughts.
Yes, you have the floor, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. I kind of want to echo a little bit also of what Congressman Tillman said, and I know what you said as well. We're sort of at a interesting spot that this committee could drastically change or could not drastically change within the next couple of days. I am extremely grateful for the information that Moss Adams has presented to us today. And I agree that I think it needs a large conversation. It would be a really wonderful thing to see those that are in charge of specific areas in the assessment from the executive branch. It would be really nice to see them come down and also have that joint conversation. Because I think while Moss Adams can answer a lot of our questions, and Treasurer Batson can as well, I think that our people that are in the executive branch can also lend some insight and kind of let us know where they're headed, you know, in this, because obviously they've received the results as well. So I think it would be really nice to hear from them too in this process. I think if we were at a different point in history, maybe with this committee and the timing of this report, I would have a whole lot of questions today. And I do have a whole lot of questions, but we're in a weird spot where this could all change in a few days. And so I don't really know how to proceed right this second with all of it. But I do appreciate all of what they've done. I think my only question for Moss Adams right this second, and maybe it's for others to hear, that when they hear the notion of something is high risk or moderate risk or low risk, if they could just explain what that means, I want to make sure that people understand that in these scenarios, that it doesn't mean that something has gone wrong necessarily, that somebody has done something wrong. It's that there's a risk that something could, it's a vulnerability. So if they could just sort of explain that, I think for the public to hear and listen to, that would be the only thing at this very second that I have.
Absolutely. We can definitely speak to that. So we do rate risks in our risk assessment from low to high risks. And so those highest risk areas are really the risk areas that can have the most impact on the operation. So those operations of the nation. And that's thinking about the ability of the nation to achieve its goals, to achieve its objectives. So we're thinking about where are those areas that should something go wrong, if something were to happen, there would be the most impact. We're also thinking about likelihood. So how likely is there to be a risk event? How likely is it to be that something could go wrong here, given what is already in place at the nation? And then we're also thinking about preparedness. So what sort of controls are already in place at the nation to mitigate and reduce risk. So when we think about those factors together, that impact, likelihood, and preparedness, that really helps us to identify what are those highest risk areas. And to your point too, those highest risk areas are the biggest opportunities for the nation to focus on, for the nation to think about how do we mitigate risk in this area to make sure that we're able to achieve what we're trying to achieve.
Thank you, Congresswoman Redcorn. Did that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am, it did.
Thank you very much. Treasurer Batson?
I was just wondering, could you guys, you know, I understand the risk and the control theory, but could you kind of do an overview of the cube and the internal control components and operating objectives and entity structures? That's kind of the framework behind this whole report.
Yes, we can. And that, so the COSO ERM framework is really based on what I just sort of described previously with the impact, the likelihood, the preparedness, and the trajectory. And then a piece of that too is thinking about what are all of the different controls at the different levels of the organization. So we want to have a really strong control environment where we have strong leadership, we have strong tone at the top, we have things in place to make sure that our organization has the foundational environment to be able to manage its controls. And then the other piece, another big piece of that is the internal control environment. So what sort of policies and procedures are in place? What sort of compliance activities are in place? Do we have the right staffing? All of those different things that can contribute to being able to operate effectively and efficiently at an organization. So we're thinking about strategic risk, we're thinking about operational risk, we're thinking about compliance risk, and we're thinking about reporting risk, right? And we're pulling all of those things together to be able to understand operations in a holistic way, and to be able to do those ratings of impact, likelihood, preparedness, and trajectory that I spoke about previously. I hope that helps.
Thank you so much. So, committee, what I hear you saying, and we are at this kind of different time, and absolutely my intention is when we know who the second speaker is next week, by this time we'll have a new second speaker, who will have the responsibility over the CA committee to pass this information along, let them know, of course, sort of what the history is, why the report was received, when it was received, what we have done as far as a review or a discussion of the assessment at this point, and then what this committee suggests moving forward. Because I do agree with you, Congressman Tillman and Congresswoman Redcorn, that this does need sort of a larger audience as far as the entire Congress, and we certainly will pass this on to the new CA committee and let them take it where they would like to take it. I think it's a, you know, again, a great report. It's, of course, highlighting things that could be done differently or could be improved, and that's okay. That's okay. That's a good thing. And I've always looked at these type of things, again, as a great tool. So I think that if the committee is in agreement, then that's how we'll handle it. I just wanted to give the opportunity before this committee, in our last week before this committee this particular group ends to have Moss Adams here and address any questions that you might have.
Chair, I agree with that assessment, and I'm sure Moss Adams, Ms. Rosillas, you all understand that we will have a new committee coming up shortly, and time for them to be able to look at the report and work with other members of Congress so that we can get back with you with questions, additional questions or concerns that we may have, and then form kind of a framework idea of, you know, how we want to proceed going forward. But the work you've done has been appreciated. It's been expensive, in my opinion. And that's the, you know, we have to also determine, you know, our costs as we try to always, you know, conserve as many funds as we can. But what you have done and what you've given to us now is, it's impressive. And from, you know, just from me, it's much appreciated. But I think, Chair, at this time, to be able to move forward and just pass the torch to the next CA committee, and you yourself being chair and me as a member and other members of this current committee, to be able to sit down with them and have a conversation about, you know, the importance of this report and the importance of going forward. So that's my 2 cents.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I agree that that is how we should proceed. So I appreciate the committee weighing in on that option. I just want to make a comment about the cost. Yes, there certainly was a cost associated with this process. And if you recall, we opted sort of out of necessity to outsource this function as opposed to in-house, because we simply weren't able to identify folks to place in those positions, even though the position was open a couple of times. So this is what the committee decided to do. So instead of having a staff in OFPR and spending the funds that way, we opted to outsource this to a group, and that's where the budget amount from the OFPR budget has gone. So I'm really proud of what Moss Adams has been able to do, and they've sort of hung in there with us through the challenges that we've had, so I appreciate that. So at this time, committee, we will proceed as stated. Does anyone else have any other questions or concerns you'd like to speak about?
Well, I just have a little bit of, I have some thoughts about the future of OFPR for you all to consider in your discussions with the new committee, and we'd be very happy to discuss this as well. We know the history of OFPR is that it's been hard to get off the ground and hard to really institutionalize within the nation. And so thinking about moving forward, some of those foundational pieces that should come out of an internal and performance audit function, like validating how recommendations have been implemented and reporting back on internal and external audits or other relevant findings. You know, the federal government's in there looking at compliance all the time, managing and establishing fraud, waste, and abuse programs, things like that. So really trying to get, however you proceed with this function in terms of using that budget, trying to get that consistent, really effective small pieces going on a regular basis all year round, so that folks start to accept and understand OFPR as just a day-to-day part of government, as opposed to every couple of years popping up and stressing people out. So the more consistent we can be, the better the function will be long term.
Thank you, Ms. Rosillas, for those words and for that advice. That certainly was our intention all along. We just had, had some challenges getting it started, but I feel good about moving forward here and passing this off to the next committee and being able to carry out that law. Committee, the next item on the agenda is adjournment.
So moved.
Motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Committee, thank you so much for your time. And Moss Adam, thank you for being here. Also, Mr. Batson, we appreciate your time as well. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.